Please turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37. And then we'll read that, and then we'll have a word of prayer. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 37. Oh, there's a lot of positive energy in the room this morning. I don't know if you can tell, but I think the sun's out. It's springtime. Everybody's excited. That song, everybody sang it with such gusto. Really enjoyed that. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're grateful that we indeed have the commandments of the Lord through the Apostle Paul, the Apostle who is the Apostle of the Gentiles. He's our Apostle. So grateful that you gave him a new set of commandments. We'll be talking about that this morning. Ones that we can live by that show that we're under grace, not under the law. And as we learn more about that this morning and put it into practice throughout the week, just be sure to give you praise and the glory for doing so. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to talk about these commandments of the Lord as we go on, but I have a sort of confession to make. I started the pastor's course about 25 years ago, and I'm still not through the first semester. So you take what you get this morning with me. But still working on that. But I know that no matter what the last 5 minutes has been like for you, the last 5 days, or the last 25 years, that we are indeed under grace, not under the law. And it sort of gives you a fresh start every moment, doesn't it, when you think about that truth? That I'm under grace, and that being under grace gives me a whole different approach to life. So that's kind of what I want to focus on this morning. So I'm going to title this message, The Commandments of the Lord. So that'll help Dan out, give him a message title. If you turn to Ephesians chapter 4, you can let go of 1 Corinthians 14. We'll come back to that towards the end. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14. Now, a couple weeks ago, one of my daughters brought a friend of hers over. We had an interesting discussion. She clearly identifies herself as a Christian. But I was always kind of unsure what was going through her mind about salvation and salvation by grace, things like that, things that we talk about all the time. And oftentimes in discussions with people, I'll get way ahead of myself and ahead of probably the most important topic, and it's whether or not someone is saved by grace, really understands that issue. Through many years of my life, not really being clear enough about that, not necessarily in my own mind, because I always understood that, but being clear in my conversations with people that they understood whether or not they were saved. Just from an early age, my grandparents, the joke I kind of have going with people is that when I was young, my parents, for some reason, would let me go to church with my grandparents. And none of the other family would come, but I would go with them to church, and I'd get a message about grace on the way to church, in the back seat. Paul. And at church I get a sermon about grace. It's all about Paul and dispensation of grace. And I get another sermon on the way back in the car in the back seat from Grandpa and Grandma. And that's kind of what got me established in the gospel, the grace of God. Didn't always fully understand how that worked in my life. But as you work through the issues of grace, understanding what it means to live by grace, not under the law, understanding salvation by grace, then it constantly brings back to mind, you know, how did this get started in the first place? Salvation by grace. And so I try to always put that back at the front of my mind, because if I get ahead of myself with people, it's like, back up, make sure they understand salvation by grace first, then you can move on from there. And with this young lady, I was trying to find a way to kind of work in the conversation. She talks about God a lot and serving the Lord and thinking, I just don't know. Something doesn't seem right. And I know that's probably that you feel that same way in conversations with people, trying to understand whether they understand salvation by grace. So I said, you know, when I talk to people, I often will ask them questions like this, kind of just pose it in a general way, saying, you know, if you were to die today, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven to be with the Lord instead of the hell where we deserve to go and eventually the lake of fire? And I said, I wonder how you'd answer that question. And I'm sure you've probably had similar conversations with people. And we can all share stories about what comes out of people's mouths. It's just sometimes like, whoa. And what came out of her mouth was definitely not a clear salvation message. So I took the time to go through some basic scriptures about salvation by grace. Salvation is a gift of God. Because what she ended up talking about was more like sanctification and equating that with salvation. I thought, no, they're two separate issues. So, in Ephesians 4, verse 14, I think this is often what happens to people in the Christian community. They identify themselves as Christians, but really don't have a clear understanding of salvation by grace. Ephesians 4, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. That's a verse we've gone over just recently in church, in second service. And so I just know that there's a lot of fascination out there with the law and the commandments and Ten Commandments this and trying to live a good life, be a good person. But that's really no surprise, is it? Because even in the day of the Galatians, they thought they could be sanctified by living under the law. They were actually saved people. They did understand salvation by grace. And yet they gravitated back to trying to live under the law. So not only do people struggle with salvation by grace, they struggle with living under grace as well. And we understand that struggle because we have the same struggle ourselves, don't we? Well, if you're going to understand what the law's purpose is, then you need to talk to someone who really got what the law was all about. Paul himself, if you turn to Philippians 3, he understood that pull of the law and the strength that it can have to grip your mind, thinking that there's some way that you can keep the law. He went down, he goes through a whole list in chapter 3 of all the things that he thought would qualify him, if it would qualify anybody to live under the law, and he was keeping all these things. Philippians 3, verse 4, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. He goes on to describe all the things that the law say he had to do, and he did all those things. But he gets down to verse 7 and says, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. See, he knew better than anyone what it would take to be successful under the law, and making an attempt to do so, realized, oh, that was a waste of time. I missed the whole point of what the law was trying to say. Look at Romans chapter 7, verse 12. Is there anything wrong with the law in and of itself? Yeah. Certainly not. Romans chapter 7, verse 12, the first part of the verse says, wherefore the law is holy. Commandment is holy and just and good. The law has an interesting contract associated with it, doesn't it? Look at Romans chapter 2. We'll talk about the law a lot, keeping the Ten Commandments. Romans chapter 2, verse 6 through 7. If you are able to keep the law, then there's a contractual obligation. God put himself in this contractual, into this contract saying, if you'll keep the law, here's what you get. Verse 6, chapter 2, verse 6, who will render to every man according to his deeds, to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life. If you're able to do all the things that the law says, then God is obligated to give you eternal life. Look at verse 10. But glory and honor and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. There's something in our flesh that really tries and strives to do good, isn't there? It's kind of in every person, I think, they have this sense that I have to be a good person. Some are trying real hard not to be good, but there's still that sense. It's what your flesh tries to do. Satan sort of preyed upon that when he said, you eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you'll be as gods, knowing good and evil. Somehow there's some way you can do good by trying to fulfill the law. But it's not that simple, is it? Now, if Adam and Eve were only given one commandment and they failed that, what makes you think you can keep 10? Especially one of the first ones that says, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind. Okay, good luck with that. It just doesn't work that way. James 2:10 and Galatians 3:10, you don't need to turn there, but the basic idea is that if you don't fulfill all the law, if you don't keep it in every point, then you are guilty of the whole thing. That's a problem. 10 commandments, not going to do you any good. Why is it that we can't keep that? Well, problem is there's sin somewhere. Where is it? It's in your flesh. There's no possibility of keeping the law. Now, the righteousness of the law can be fulfilled in us. And we'll talk about that later, how that's able to be done, where that comes from, where that strength comes from. If you look at Romans 3:19, this verse is constantly running through my mind when I think about the law and what the law is supposed to do. And when I talk to people about salvation by grace, it's not about trying to be a good person, about trying to keep the law. This Romans 3:19 says, now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. That verse, as I think about it during the week and just meditative on it, like, man, that's an amazing verse, that sweeping indictment of humanity. All the world may become guilty before God. Reminds me of a conversation that Jordan said he had with on a panel. And there were several other people representing different faiths. It was Islam and probably Roman Catholics, a bunch of other different faiths. And they all went through their litany of what their religion had to offer to people and to the world. And they always presented a positive, somewhat of a positive view of man. And they got to Jordan, he says, I can tell you in a couple sentences why Christianity, true Christianity, Christianity, salvation by grace is different. It's that the Bible has an extremely negative view of man and a positive view of God. And if man will take God's offer, he'll change everything about your life. Close the book, pretty much done with this conversation. I thought, man, that's amazing. It really is the case that we have not just an extremely negative view of man, but a very positive view of God and what you can, how you can have a relationship with God by salvation through grace. And we'll continue to talk about that as the morning goes on. Now, Paul said there in 1 Corinthians 14:37 that the commandments that I write in you are the commandments of the Lord. You know, I noticed a verse, Ephesians 2. Turn to Ephesians 2. Verse 15. If any man thinketh himself to be spiritual, let him acknowledge that the commandments that I write in you are the commandments of the Lord, he says there in 1 Corinthians 14. But here in Ephesians 2:15, Ephesians 2:15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make him in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Well, here it says he's abolished in his flesh the law of commandments. But Paul says, let him acknowledge that the commandments that I write in you are the commandments of the Lord. So he's abolished in his flesh the commandments, and Paul says, my commandments are the commandments of the Lord, then those two don't seem to go together too well. If he's been abolished, then he's given the commandments of the Lord. I thought they were abolished. Does that make sense to you? How in the world can he be given the commandments if they've been abolished? Well, what's the bottom line?
Different.
They're different. They're different commandments. Why would he say he's abolished the law of commandments contained in ordinances in his flesh? Why would he say that? Nailing them to the cross, I believe it says in the Colossians. Why would he say that? Well, he takes that impossible system of the law, commandments, nails it to the cross. He's got a new set of commandments. The ones that he gave to the Apostle Paul. So when he says, the commandments that I write in you are the commandments of the Lord, it's new commandments. What do those commandments sound like? Well, he takes that idea that all the world is guilty before God, but now in Romans 3:21, turn to chapter 3, verse 21, if all the world has been guilty before God, Romans 3:21. So how in the world is anyone going to be considered righteous before God? Where is it going to come from? If none doeth good, no, not one, he says in chapter 3. Verse 20, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. How in the world will I ever, or anyone ever, become righteous before God? Well, but now, there's one of our but nows that we love to talk about. Verse 21, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. This is an amazing statement. You've got the whole of the Old Testament. The law is laid out in Exodus, and there's all kinds of ordinances they're supposed to keep track of. And it's been built into their mindset. Keep the law. And you get here, and Paul says, the righteousness of God without the law? Say what? Where did that come from? Well, if you keep reading, you start to see his logic that he builds out. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And that's a theme he's clearly established in chapters 1, 2, and 3. But then verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through what? Faith in his blood. And I think back to all those sacrifices that people would have to bring in the Old Testament as an offering for sin. And yet God now takes his son, his only son, and puts him on the cross. He sheds his blood, and his blood, not the blood of bulls and goats and all that blood they shed in the Old Testament, but the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, all that blood that was shed just as a symbol for the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, was shed on our behalf. Faith in that blood for the payment for my sins and for yours. And he's able to freely give us eternal life. That's a whole other type of commandment, isn't it? And yet Paul had to really fight for his legitimacy as the spokesman for this dispensation of grace. Think about what he went through with the Corinthians. He spent time with them personally, quite some time, with the Galatians. And yet they constantly reverted back to what they knew before. The Corinthians had so many other people that were feeding them bad doctrine. And they were nodding their heads, yeah. He says, look, you might have 10,000 people out there teaching you about God, and yet I'm the one who begot you in the gospel. Pay attention to what I said. Let him that acknowledge, thinks he's spiritual, let him acknowledge that the commandments that I give unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Galatians, Paul taught them personally. Went right back under the law. Those are the two great, shall we say, temptations. To be a carnal Corinthian or a foolish Galatian. And we strive in this ministry to make sure that we understand the gospel, the grace of God, and how it works in your life, so you're not sucked back into either of those two things. Why would he have to nail that law to the cross? Think about Romans chapter 6 and 7. Turn into chapter 6, Romans 6. He says we're not under the law. He says it twice, chapter 6, verse 14 and 15. For sin shall not have dominion over you, chapter 6, verse 14. For ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Look at chapter 7, verse 4. Wherefore, my brethren, ye also are become dead to the law by the body of Christ. Verse 6. But now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein ye were held. Look at chapter 10, verse 4. Romans 10, verse 4. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. And then chapter 8, verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Something about the law that just brings out failure in us. Before salvation and after. You're not going to get to the righteousness of God by trying to keep the law. But if I'm dead to the law, delivered from the law, free from the law, and the end of the law is Christ, then that's one of those new commandments that Paul gave, or that Christ gave to Paul. Look at Romans 15, verse 13, if you would. Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. In order to be filled with all joy and peace in believing, it's through the power of the Holy Ghost. That certainly doesn't come through the law, does it? That's one of the gifts that we've been given the moment we believe. Reminds me of we were making some tea a couple weeks ago, and Katie put like two or three tea bags in this big jug of water. And it's kind of interesting to sit there and watch the tea kind of filter down in. You ever notice that? And when it's a jug, you can see through it, it sort of filters in. Kind of reminds me of taking the Word of God into your soul, and it sort of slowly works its way into your life, into your soul. It sort of infuses the whole jug. I was so disappointed when after about a week she poured it all out. I'm like, oh man, that was good stuff. What pour it out for? But that's kind of what the Word of God will do in your soul, is slowly infuse itself into your heart as you believe what it says. You want to have stronger tea, put another tea bag in. Get another verse in your soul. Get it to be down inside your heart and your mind and your thinking. Renewing your mind every day. Let's turn to First Thessalonians 2. Well, that verse there in Romans 15. God of all hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Reminds me of what the Thessalonians did. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. We've talked before about how the Corinthians, you can tell from letter 1 to letter 2, that they did make some progress. And there were some issues still there, even in 2 Corinthians. He was still pretty hard on them. They did make some progress, but they started so far behind, and yet they were making progress. They're still way behind where they should be. The Thessalonians, when you go from 1 Thessalonians to 2 Thessalonians, you see more progress in their mind and on their walk of faith. But he did say right from the start, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13, For this cause also thank we without God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God, which you heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. So when he talks in Romans about the God of all hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that's exactly what the Thessalonians did. They took what Paul told them. They treated it as the word of God, not the word of men, he says there in that verse, not as a word of men, not as one of those every wind of doctrine that would come to the Corinthians, but they treated it as the word of God. They understood the difference between what Paul, what Christ had said, and what all the prophets had said before about the law of commandments contained in ordinances. They realized there was something different. They started to understand the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus that would make them free from the law of sin and death. And that's what our hope in this local assembly is too, that you understand there's a huge difference between trying to be a good person, living under the law, and the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Far different way to approach life. Romans 10 verse 17 says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Well, if you take a look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13. Match that up with Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. 1 Corinthians 2, 13. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. What does it say the Holy Ghost teaches in that verse? It says, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches. So what is the Holy Ghost teaching in that verse? Teaching you words. Words on the page. It doesn't say the word, it says the words. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. John 6:63, Jesus says, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. The words, and we submit the words in a King James Bible only. We don't apologize for that in this ministry. King James Bible only are the words of the Lord. They're spirit and they're life. We also narrow it down. But like if I walk down the street when the mail had been delivered and I want to take somebody else's mail, start reading it like it's mine, that's a federal offense. You know that? You get in a lot of trouble for that. You get in a lot more trouble when you take things that aren't written directly to you in the Word of God. That's why we talk about the Apostle Paul as the Apostle of the Gentiles. Apostle of the uncircumcision. We focus on that a lot in this ministry. You like walking down the street and taking somebody else's mail. It doesn't belong to you. Same thing can happen to you spiritually speaking. If you take verses that aren't written directly to you that you're expected to apply in your life, just end up with a mess in your life. We want to try to avoid that. That's why we focus on the Apostle Paul as the Apostle of the Gentiles. Paul says you're not under the law. Not everyone in the Bible says that. A lot of the Bible doesn't say that. It says you're not under the law, you're under grace. And you'll find that in Romans through Philemon, don't you? Only then can you understand how he can say, now the God of all hope, fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Believing what? The commandments of the Lord that he talked about, Romans 15. The commandments that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Let's take a look at a few verses that sort of illustrate that. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians 5:21. And as we go through this list of verses, I want you to notice the connection between all of these. Now, I saw something on some website saying that the biggest disease nowadays is fill in the blank. What do you think it is? Any ideas? Spiritual apathy. Yeah. Well, that's what you'd say. What would a random website say? You know what they said? Loneliness. What? The biggest disease is loneliness? Unreal. I could kind of see their point. Because all the things, all that wind of doctrine out there gets people so confused about what's going on in life, saved or unsaved, lacking quality connections with people. And yet we know, as members of the body of Christ and the commandments that Paul was given, that there's a unique message that's being preached today in the dispensation of grace. And if you'll get a handle on that, a grasp of that, you won't ever feel lonely again. You'll understand that you're part of something unique in history and for all eternity. You'll be considered a member of the body of Christ. And that we are members one of another. There's no reason to feel lonely. But I want you to notice the connection between these verses. There's about 8 or 10. We'll see if we can get through all of them. So very briefly, I want you to notice what the connection is. So 2 Corinthians 5:21. Do you want to be made the very righteous of God? That's what people need. That's what you need. How can you be made the righteous of God? 2 Corinthians 5:21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. Where? In him. Notice the passive nature of that verse. It's not something you did or have to do. It says that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You understand the difference between passive and active? Say, I ate the cake. Or how would I change the passive? The cake, just flip it, right? But the cake was eaten by me. So it's passive. It sounds different, doesn't it? Same basic action. But here it says, we might be made the righteousness of God by myself? No. In him. We are made the righteousness of God in him. Look at Colossians 2, verse 10. Everybody knows this verse, right? Well, this is one of our goals, to make sure you do understand a verse like this. You might not be able to affirm that, say that affirmably, but this is one we want you to memorize. Colossians 2, verse 10. And ye are complete where? In Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. Do you want to have hope in this life and the life to come? Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. Everybody wants to have hope. And we know our definition of hope is that we confidently expect that what God has promised, it will come to pass. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19. If in this life only we have hope, where? In Christ. We are of all men most miserable. We have hope in Christ now. We have hope in the life to come in Christ. Do you want to triumph in life? Look at 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14. And my nephew, I think I've mentioned this before, plays on the Golden State Warriors. They hope to be triumphant in their quest for a second NBA championship. Well, we want to be triumphant in our spiritual life, don't we? 2 Corinthians 2:14. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph, where? In Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of His knowledge by us in every place. Would you like to be a new creature? Boy, I felt like that this morning. Like I got out of bed, and I'm like, oh, man. It's hard to get up this morning. Just didn't feel like it. Something. You know, sometimes you feel that way. You want to feel like a new creature? Look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be where? In Christ. He is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Do you long to be one with other believers? Look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. Of course you do. That's why we come week after week, study God's Word day in and day out. Renew our mind day in and day out. So we can understand our oneness so there won't be that loneliness factor in our life. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one. Where? In Christ Jesus. Do you desire to know the will of God? Of course you do. That's why you're here. Why you come week in and week out. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And I know by now you've probably seen the connection between all these verses. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. And we back up to verse 16. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God. Where? In Christ Jesus concerning you. Do you want to be strong in the grace of God? Of course you do. Look at 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is where? In Christ Jesus. Do you want to live a godly life? It's a rhetorical question if there ever was one. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 12. Or 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. 2 Timothy 3, verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly, in whom Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Did you notice the connection between all those verses? They're all about being in Christ. You cannot get into Christ by trying to fulfill the law. Before or after you're saved, it's something that's done to you. The moment you believe the gospel of the grace of God. Ephesians 2, how does it go? For by grace are you saved through faith. Faith where? Romans 3 tells you. Faith in the blood of Christ alone. Faith alone in the blood of Christ alone. By grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. No one's going to be boasting at the judgment seat of Christ or get to heaven. It's not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us. It's a gift of God. Do you want to be justified from all things? Of course you do. And Acts 13:39 says, by Him all that believe are justified from all things, from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Do you want to be delivered from this present evil world? Galatians 1:4 calls this a present evil world. How has it done so? It's by understanding your position in Christ, who you are in Christ, who God has made you to be in Christ, all the gifts you've been given as a member of the body of Christ. Think about being filled with the Spirit. Our goal in this ministry is to help people understand ourselves and others how to be filled with the Spirit, as it says in Ephesians 5:18. We are to be filled with the Spirit. Philippians 1:11, Paul prays that we may be filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Now, and I noticed an interesting connection I hadn't really noticed before, but Ephesians 3:19 talks about being filled with all the fullness of God. Ephesians 3:19, turn to that verse. Ephesians 3:19. And I want you to compare that with Colossians 2:9. If we are incapable of fulfilling the righteousness of the law, before or after we're saved, there has to be a different system, different set of commandments that wasn't nailed to the law, to the cross, like it was when Christ died. Paul says, if any man be spiritual, let him acknowledge that the commandments I write unto you are the commands of the Lord. So, look at Ephesians 3, verse 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Well, how's that going to happen? Well, look at Colossians. Hold your hand there and turn to Colossians 2, verse 9. Colossians 2, verse 9. Colossians 2, 9. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of God. Of the Godhead bodily. So all the fullness of God the Father, all the fullness of God the Holy Spirit are in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So if I'm over there in, make sure I get my reference, Ephesians 3:19, filled with all the fullness of God, and in Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, then how am I going to be filled with all the fullness of God? To be filled with whom? Lord Jesus Christ. Does that make sense to you? To be filled with all the fullness of God. You think about Galatians 2 where it says, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The fullness of the Godhead bodily liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. That's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. It's His faithfulness to God's plan. Carried out through the Holy Spirit in you and me. As we understand we're members one of another, working together, pulling in the same direction, to understand that we as a group here today, whether we're here in this room or out there, we are working as one. We're members of each other, one of another, through that unity of the Spirit we've talked about, letting this Word of Christ dwell in us richly, that we can understand how we are co-laborers with God. It's really amazing thing to me that think that if you get in line with what God is doing, then you're in the will of God. What is God doing? He's forming this thing called the body of Christ. We're all members of that by faith in the blood of Christ alone. And it's not just now, but far out in the future that we'll be enjoying that relationship together. Talked about how Paul said to, if any man is spiritual, let him acknowledge that the commandments he writes unto you are the commandments of the Lord. And there's every wind of doctrine out there. Romans 16, we're just about finished. Romans 16, verse 17. And to be on the watch for every wind of doctrine. There's lots of doctrine floating around out there like a little leaf blowing along. You don't want to be like that leaf being blown down the road. Carried along by every wind of doctrine. Romans 16, verse 17. 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. And notice how down in verse 25 it says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel. He contrasts what those guys are saying about Jesus and what his gospel says about Jesus. He says, those commandments those guys are preaching, wrong ones. Commandments that God gave to me are the commandments of are His commandments, the commandments of the Lord. Focus on the commandments He gave me, and then you'll be established, stabilized in your life. So even though Christ says in John 6:63, the words that I speak in you, they are spirit and they are life, it's not the words in red that He's talking about there, is it? They might be under the right dispensation, but to us, the words of life and the commandments of the Lord are the dispensation and the grace of God given to the Apostle Paul. That's what we focus on in this ministry. If you focus on those, then you'll understand verses like when he gets to Romans 8:1-2, where he talks about the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus makes you free from the law of sin and death. That's such, to me, gets me so pumped up. When I think during the week, if I have a bad day, you know what? I am under grace. That's the thing I'm going to get back to. Whether I said it, like I said, 5 minutes, 5 days, 25 years. Doesn't matter how far back you've been off track. Guess what? You are under grace. You can get back on track immediately when you understand that. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus will make you free from the law of sin and death. You can understand your unity with the others in this body and how we're pushing towards in the same direction. When Paul says the commandments of the Lord, what I'm telling you, what does he say in the next verse? But if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. Don't get upset. Don't get in a big old fight. Just drop it. Move on. Look for somebody else that will pay attention. Doesn't he say in 2 Timothy 2:2, the teach others who can teach others? Now, there's been times when I've tried to teach somebody, and you'll watch them turn around and teach somebody else, and it just falls flat. It's like, man, it's not, I just kind of missed. Because I want to be able to teach somebody who can turn around and teach somebody else, and it comes out the same kind of, that game of telephone. How many times does it come back around? It's the same message. Almost never. But that's our goal, is to teach others, teach each other, who can teach other people, and have that message move on. And not just currently, but on from generation to generation. We've talked a lot about trying to get the youth, get them pumped up about the gospel, the grace of God, so that when we are gone, and that's my hope, that there will be many more years to come before the Lord comes. Might not be. But if so, that this ministry, which we're so grateful for our pastor who joined us, Johnson House, that we will be able to pass it on to others. Because I know that we highly esteem him and love for what he does for us here. It's incredible. And the best legacy you can leave for him is that this ministry will be passed on to others. When we're long gone, it will be something that we can say, you know what, in Southern California, Berean Bible Ministry is focused on the gospel, the grace of God. It wasn't about bringing about ministry to say, but about the gospel, the grace of God. And there's times when you know, life just gets tough. And you just feel like you just can't go on. You know, Ann's been through a lot, awful lot. She's been asking for people's prayer this last couple of weeks. She's got an operation coming up. Not sure what's going to find out. Reminds me of something that happened at work. Turn to 2 Corinthians 4 and 2 Corinthians 12. We'll finish up on these verses. Actually, one more in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 4 and 2 Corinthians 12. When Paul talks about light affliction, our security guard at school, bless her heart, Miss Gomez, she puts up with an awful lot of stuff. It's just for me alone. I call her probably once a week, saying, and would you send the security guard down? So-and-so won't change her seat. So-and-so has her phone out, won't put away. So-and-so stole something. She's always coming down for some issue, and she's got this look on her face like, again, Miss Stevens? Yeah, again. Come on in, let's deal with it. Well, somebody got their phone stolen on Friday, I think it was, and I got a call again. But I had also noticed earlier in the day that she had a little crown. She was wearing a tiara on her head, a little princess crown. What was she wearing that for? And then somebody said, hey, guess what? It's Miss Gomez's birthday. And I thought, man, I don't want to ruin her birthday. So I call, and turns out before she got there to the class, that the phone showed up. You know, I just kind of say, I'm going to call. And finally the phone shows up fine. I have the phone. So I don't need her to come down. But I'm going to find some way to turn this into a positive thing. So she's walking down the hall, and I said, guess what? It's her birthday. We're going to sing happy birthday. We're going to make it sound like something bad happened, then we're going to sing happy birthday. All right, great. So the class all pumped up. So she walks in. Miss Gomez, come in here. I said, if I've told this class once a thousand times, don't take out your phones in class. She's like, now, what do you have to say about that? And she gets ready to look. She's looking at him like, oh, you can't be serious. She gets ready to say something. I say, stop. We have something to say to you. And stop. Here we go. Happy birthday. We're singing happy birthday. She's like, oh, you guys got me. But you know what? That reminded me of the gospel, the grace of God in 2 Corinthians 12. When he talks about verse chapter 4, verse 7, we have his treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We're troubled on every side, yet not distressed, perplexed, but not in despair. You've read those verses before. Delivered unto death always, in verse 11. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perishes, yet the inner man is renewed day by day. Our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Made me think a little about that when we pulled that little trick on Miss Gomez. We kind of tricked her, thinking, oh, this stuff I go through, is it worth it? Then we sing her happy birthday. But you know what? God is not trying to trick you and me by putting us through all this stuff and then it's glory later. He says, you know what? You can understand that now, that what you go through now is producing a far more exceeding eternal weight of glory. Chapter 12, you can read more of the same type of thing. My grace is sufficient for you. No matter what you are going through, God has already assured you. He's not trying to trick you. He's already assured you that what you're going through is producing a far more exceeding and eternal way of glory, and you'll never get that under the law. That's when we talk about the law in the beginning of the message. Why go back to that? You got something so much more amazing. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. You can focus on that. Christ lives in me. Why would I want to go back to that system? So put that stuff behind you. When you have a bad day, remember you are under the grace of God, not under the law. You can take that to the bank. Enjoy that during the week. Just relax and say, you know what? Glory be to God. So I was thinking about what Anne's going through. It's like, you know what? God has already assured her and us, if we hit a rough spot, that we are in a system that has turned even our failures upside down, turn them into victory. We are more than conquerors. How can you be more than a winner? It's kind of a strange combination of words, but we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. The grace of God will work. It does work. I know you know that. Each and every day, as you renew your mind, understand that the gospel, the grace of God is what it's all about. Paul's message is what it's all about. Don't be ashamed of it. I know it works in your life. I know that you desperately want to see it work in other people's lives, especially your own family. It's the best place to see it work. Start there. Work your way out. Teach others who can teach others. It takes time, doesn't it? Do you notice God's not in a big hurry for this to work out? 2,000 years? He's still waiting. I say, man, maybe the Lord will come today. But you know what? If He doesn't, give me a chance to see it work a little bit more in my life today and throughout this week. This is going to be rough. I know it's going to be rough this week. It's going to be rough for you too. That's just the way it goes. But our light affliction, it's light. Think about it in terms of that glory we're going to be sharing out there with Him. It is light affliction compared to what we're going to be experiencing together. We just get a little taste of that now, don't we? Understanding what we're talking about in the second service about forgiving each other, being kind to one another, tender hearted, forgiving. There's so many chances, even just in this room. We get together in the break. Someone might say something hurts your feelings. You know what? Forgive. Move on. We are members one of another. You are one with each other in Christ. Let that be the thing that captures your heart and your mind as you interact with each other. Understanding your oneness in Christ is just, you can't replace that with something under the law. It's not going to be there. It doesn't need to be there. You've been given the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. So just enjoy that the rest of this day as we enjoy our second service with Pastor John. And enjoy what this ministry means to all of us, that we have a chance to grow each and every day. The Lord has given us the structure to do that. So we're just so grateful that you attend here and keep trying to reach out to other people. Because I know it's like a wasteland in other churches. When you're preaching the law, thinking there's something there, there's nothing there. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that's something. Christ lives in us. Just enjoy that the rest of this week. So thanks for the opportunity to share with you. Sure appreciate your attention. It's always fun to talk to a group of people that are actually listening. Don't always get that in public school. So we're dismissed for now, but thanks again for your attention. Sure appreciate it. So, all right, let's take a break.